Today's daf is Kuf Samach Dalet. We're going to start at the bottom of Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Bet, Gufa. Gufa. Amar Gufa always means we're going in depth now into something we mentioned before. Amar Rav, Shtar Haba Hu Ve'edav Al Amacha Kasher. Okay, in order to do this, anyone listening can try this at home. I took a piece of paper. It'll be easier to follow. At least for me, it was easier. Okay, we have a text. We have Edim. Okay, so we're going to look at this in two parts. There's the part with the text and the part with the Edim. So if if, let's say, this whole thing we erased, and we put on top a new text and new witnesses, okay? In other words, this whole thing got erased up below, and here I'm taking a piece of text and a piece of
So you took the paper, you made it blank again, and you
exactly, below it. Okay? It's a little hard to do this right now, but imagine this is blank, and you put on top.
So you just erased it.
Erased it and
rewrote
it.
Erased the whole thing and rewrote the whole thing. That's kasher. V'im tomar mochek v'chozer mochek. Maybe you'd be worried that once the edim are signed on the second level, right, after we did erased it, and the first level was already erased and now we wrote a second level, maybe they're going to make a third level, erase the text level, make a third level over, right? How the assumption is, once it's erased, right, so we'll just erase it again, and the edim signatures will still be there, and he'll forge the document that way and say, oh, look, we have good edim, right? But really, he was mochek v'chozer mochek, right? He'll erase again and add in an extra text at the top. So now they answer, because eino doma nimchak pa'am achad le'nimchak shtei pa'amim. The point is that when you double erase, it's noticeable. So the bottom will be single erased, the top will be double erased, and people will be able to tell the difference. The shtar, and we're going to see later that, okay, the main thing being that it's all on one shtar, and it's going to be very noticeable that this has more erased parts than, you know, that it was erased more times than the other part. You'll be able to compare.
That's interesting, because they wrote on different things, so how come they were on pottery shards they wrote on?
Yeah.
But they're only talking about...
Well, that's why they're talking about the same document.
So if you wrote on a pottery shard, they're saying, okay, this is a shard, and this is a shard, and this is a shard, and if you erase it twice, you'll know. But they're assuming that they would know if it was,
whether it was a pottery shard, whether it was parchment, whether it was right. That's true. Interesting. Right, the assumption here, I think, is really that they're talking about cloth. Parchment. And there, I think the assumption is most of the things were written on parchment, and therefore you'd be able to tell the difference. So now they say, well, Dilma Shade Diuta Amakom Edim Meikara. Maybe the Baal HaShtar was smart. What does he say? Well, in order to be able to forge it this way and forge it twice, right? In other words, write the document and then erase it and change it. What will I do? Before the Edim sign, I'm going to blacken the text, okay? Here, I'm going to blacken it, the parchment, erase it, have the edim sign on that, okay? Or the truth is, I think they're right, Dilma Shade Diuta Amakom Edim Meikara, okay? Umachikle, and then erase it. Dechi Hadro Machikle Lahai, Havele Edi V'Edi Nimchak Shtei Pa'amin. And then, when he erases the top part to fix it, it'll end up both sides were erased twice. So what will he do? We'll just erase it earlier and hope that nobody pays attention, you know, and that it'll be good like that. So now, Amar Abaye, Kasav Rav, Ein Ha'edim Chotmim Al HaMachak, Ela Im Kein Nimchak Bifnehem. Abaye says, no, when Rav says that you can do it like this, meaning originally, right, and we're not worried, what did we say? Originally, that if you erase everything, then you can... then you can put, you know, edim and ktav on an erased document. We're not worried that maybe the bottom was erased first, originally, and then we're going to end up where then he could forge and put two layers, right? So we'd have two layers and two layers. Because the edim will never sign on erased stuff unless it was erased in front of them. That is exactly to avoid this problem that somebody might blacken the text and erase it so that later they can add an extra layer and no one will know the difference. That is avoided by this issue, okay? So that basically the edim will only sign if they know it was erased, in which case they already know that they're signing on something that was erased. Okay, so that's the whole, that's Rav. Now we're going to question Rav from a Braita. Meitive, hu al aniyar ve'edav al amachak kasher. Okay, so if we started with, okay, we're going to see three different options. We started with Hu Ve'edav Al HaMachak, right? That was both of them We erase the document, and both of them sign on the erased document, okay? We're going to like this. Now we're going to have the two opposite cases, which is, hu al haniyar, what if the text is straight on the original, ve'edav al hamachak, but the edim came and signed on something that was erased. Okay, now this, it says it's kasher. Now why would this be kasher, right? Didn't we just say that if the edim are on the machak, then it would lead to somebody forging it? V'nichush dilma machikle, v'kativ mai debai, v'havalehu ve'edav al hamachak. Okay, so now they say, why would we let the edim sign on an erased document? Because then what can he do? He'll come along, he'll erase the top after the edim are already on it, he'll write whatever he wants at the top, and he'll bring the star to Beit Din, and the Beit Din will see it. Hey, look, this is a classic case of what? The first case we saw, right? Hu va edim al hamachak, kasher, and they'll be machshir this star when really it's no good. So what do they say? When the Braita said that you could do this, it was under a particular condition. If you're going to do such a thing, what do you have to do? Tekatve hachi, you have to write the words on the shtar. When the edim sign on this erased document, but they don't erase the top part, and we have basically what we call an imbalanced document, okay, which means he could come along and forge the top, erase it, forge it, bring it into court and say, look, the whole thing was written on a machak, and the court will say, oh, this is fine. Your edim match, right? It works, even though the edim obviously did not sign on this part. So, what do you do to avoid this? Dekatve hachi, you write on the shtar, anachnu sade chatamnu al machka v'shtara katav al niyara. Okay, so now, what do they say? This only works, the edim, we're allowed to have an imbalanced document where the edim sign on an erased part even though the top part was written on the original parchment and there's no erasure. That's allowed only in a case where you write the words, we the witnesses signed on an erased part while the text was written on the original. And then they avoid all sorts of issues. Now though, what's the Gemara going to say? Dekatve hecha. Where exactly on the shtar are they going to write this? Right? Because, remember, you could cut it off, you could erase it. Okay? Imi letachat. If it was at the bottom, gaizle, they could cut it off. Iila, if it was above, then machikle. In other words, this is below their signatures or above their signatures. If it was above their signatures, well, listen, if this was erased, so they could erase that line and no one would be suspicious because it's right above their signatures and that was written on erase, so it makes sense, there'd be some blank space here. So therefore, we're worried if you wrote that line there, the edim could, the Baal HaShtar could just erase it. He'd come to court and say, oh, look, you know, here he'd bring his new, right, he'd write his new stuff on top. You'd have, again, a balanced document where everything, it looks like everything was written on the machak. So that's not going to help. So therefore, where do you write this? Dekatve ben sada lesada. You write it in between the two witnesses. So in between the two signatures of the witnesses where nobody, you can't start erasing it. So it'll be obvious there's an extra erasing here. And you can't start, you can't do it above so that you can erase it, below so that you could cut it off. So basically you write it in between the two signatures. Okay, so that's why you'd have to have this line that says it.
Why don't they just suggest that you write it on the slant where the two parts connect?
Right, that's a good idea also,
like
to write it on a slant. Right, but maybe if you write it on a slant, again, maybe you could cut the side of the star, possibly.
But then it's half of it's missing.
Right, if the whole thing goes to the end, right, it would be noticeable. They could have probably answered that also. The truth is, katve bein sada l'sada could be interpreted to mean that also.
Two sides, yeah.
Exactly, between them meaning, you know, on the same line as both of them. Okay, so just to review before we move on, this is important to get it all straight. So we have one case where Rav said, shtar haba hu ve'edav al hamachak. You're basically erasing the entire thing. You know what I'm thinking of when you put tiles on top of other tiles, right? When you, instead of, sometimes it's an easier way to retile floors, instead of taking out all the tiling and retiling, right, they just put it on top. So it's like that, right? So basically, if you're going to do the whole thing on top, right, and then if you would put some new and some old, you'd have a totally imbalanced floor, right? It would be very noticeable. So that's kind of like what they're saying. So if you erase the entire thing or rewrite over the entire thing, it's fine. If the edim sign over a part that's erased, but the shtar is written on a part that's not erased, that's good under the condition that in between the two signatures of the edim, you write the words, We have signed, some people say, by the way, it's a bit of a problem. If you sign under the first, in between the two, it looks like only one of the edims agree to it. But they say, because you wrote anachnu as edim, that the witness wouldn't lie and say anachnu when it wasn't anachnu. Anyway, there's a bit of a question about that. But you basically write, we signed on an erased document that was blank, that was a clean document at the top, unerased document at the top, so that the person can't erase the top and write on top of that. The person who holds the shtar. But now they're going to say, wait a minute. If you say that you're going to write those words, we the edim, blah, 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 so we hachiyem a seifa, I didn't tell you this, but the Breita continues to bring a case that's the opposite case, and Dafka says it's pasul. And the Gemara is going to say, if that case is pasul, why don't we also just have them write the stipulation, and that should resolve it. So what does it say in the seifa? Hu ala machak, let's say the shtar, the text, is on an erased part, okay? The edav al haniyar, but the edim wrote directly on the parchment. There was nothing written there before they came. They wrote directly on the parchment. Pasul, this is pasul. Now, am I pasul? Why should this be pasul? Hachanami, also in this case, nichtibu hachi, they should write like this. Anachnu sadeh chatamnu al niyara v'shtara al machka. Right? So now, before we try to figure out why they couldn't just stipulate what the situation was, like they did in the previous case, right? Why bichlal would we make this case pasul? What's the concern? So now they're going to say, hashtanami, my amart. What's the reason? This is going to be our answer. Because what's the reason really this is pasul? Mochek chozer u'mochek. Ha amart. So now, they first say like this. What do you think the issue is? That we're worried that you're going to erase the top and add a new text to it, right? You're going to have two layers here. But then the Gemara is going to say, but we already said, Ha'amart, eino doma nimchak pam achad, le nimchak shtei pamim, right? It's going to be obvious that you erased this two times, right or wrong. Well, there's a bit of a difference here. Why won't it be as obvious? Ha'nemile hecha dechatime sa'ade amachka. Hecha delochati mesade amachka ela aniyara lo yadia. How are we going to know that we originally said if you write, you have the text on top of the text and the edim on top of the edim, there was erased on both. We're not worried that you're going to forge the top and erase it twice because you'll notice by comparing it to the bottom, right? You'll notice that it was erased, the top was erased more times than the bottom was. But in this case, where the edim signed directly, even if the edim said they signed at the top on an erased document, the shtar was written on an erased document, but we signed yashar on the text, you can still be concerned for forgery because they can erase the top again, it's still an erased document, and they're not going to be able to tell the difference between whether it was erased once or whether it was erased twice. Because the only way you can tell is by comparing it to the other erased part on the document, and there is no other erased part in the document because the edim signed directly. And that's why, okay, so they said again, right, that's where chatime sade amachka, that's when the edim were signed on something erased. But when they're not signed on anything erased, el aniyara, but on the niyara, lo yadia, they will not be able to tell that it was erased twice. So then they say, well, leite migilta achrita, v'limchok v'lidame. Why don't you just take another document, erase it twice, or erase it once, and compare what it looks like? Okay, and then you can have a sense of comparison. So then they say, right, lo dame machka dahai migilta, lamachka dahai migilta. This is where we're living in an age where every unique piece of parchment was different, every piece was unique. You can't tell the difference when you erase on one piece of parchment what it's going to look like when you erase on a different piece of parchment. So what's interesting here is we started with saying how it's obvious the difference between one erased document and having it erased twice, and now it's become clear that it's only going to be on that same parchment, right? It's not as clear-cut as we thought it was in the first place. Why doesn't he go and be ma'asher the edim on this document, and then belimchok vilidmi, and then he can erase the top, and it will One second. What was the question here? So they have Subhashchar Idrichali. No. One second. Interesting. Right, why don't we go and verify the signatures in the court? We can have them verify the signatures. Then, right, we have this erase part at the top. They verify the whole document. Then he can go home, and then he can erase, right? Erase what he wants, and write on the erase part. Okay? So, Amar Rav Hoshaya. Oh, right, this is, one second. According to this, wait a minute. He can prove that the Aedim, one second. And then, right, and then the concern, I think, is that he will then erase the signatures. No, I'm not sure what this is suggesting.
So you try to make to see what an erasure on that scroll looks like by just writing something and erasing it somewhere else, and then you have a top and a bottom.
Oh, right. That he can. That right. He can bring it to. They can bring it to court.
Scribble he can, something. Erase
right,
it.
No, right. Right. First, they can say, "Let's just check out that these signatures are good." The Beit Din. Thank you. The Beit Din verifies that the signatures are good. Once they do that, then they can check for a forged document. They can erase the Aedim signatures, which they don't need anymore because they already established that the Aedim are good Aedim. Write on that document, erase it, and then they can compare. And that would be a way of preventing a forgery in this case. You understand? It would be like an extra step, but then they could create, they can prevent a forgery. You follow? So we're trying to figure out why DAFKA this case is pasul when you can't come up with a method to prevent the forgery. Okay, so that would be a good method. If you needed to be on the same star, so we would kind of the Aedim in court, say, these Aedim were good Aedim. Now we don't really need them anymore. Let's erase them. Let's write over them and then compare. And then we can see, the text at the top actually looks exactly the same. It was only erased once. And then it wouldn't be a forged document. So now we have another reason, which is Amar Rav Hoshaya. Eino doma nimchak ben yomo linimchak ben shnei yamim. Now, right, this is when you paint a wall, right? You paint it, then you paint a section a week later, the color's already going to look different, right? That just because you erased it today doesn't mean it's going to look the same as the erased part that looked that you did it a different day. It's not going to look the same anymore anyway. This, and then they say, Belishie, why don't you leave it then for a few days and then try to get it to the state that this was today? I guess somehow they'd have to. I guess what they're saying here is that it doesn't change over time, but let's say once it's already settled, right? Fresh is different than old. So why don't you leave it for a day and then see? So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya, Chayshina Lebeitin Toim. This is like they finally give up their hands and they say, this is just too complicated to have them establish the witnesses in court, then write over them, then erase them, then let it wait a day. Courts are probably not going to go through this whole process, in which case they're going to end up actually taking forged documents and thinking that they're okay, and therefore we're, you know, adkan, okay? So therefore, just to review, we have three cases. We have shtar haba, huva edav ala machak, okay, so where you basically have both right, this would be the classic, you know, putting tiles on top of other tiles, okay, where it's all even and fair, that's good, that works. If the Aedim, right, the second case we had is if the, make sure I say it right, Hu ala niyar, the Eidav ala machak, okay, so the shtar is written on the niyar, and the Aedim are on a machak, where again, there's no chance you're going to forge the top, because we write inside that we, the witnesses, signed on a blank, brand new, the text was on the blank document, and therefore there's no concern for forgery. But if the top was erased and the Aedim wasn't erased, then we're not going to allow it because we're worried that you might erase the top, put another section on top of it, and then you, again, won't be able to tell that it was done twice because you have no sense of comparison from the bottom part. Okay, those are the three halachot we learned in this section.
Lucky they didn't have Photoshop.
Right, Photoshop would have really messed things up. Okay. Now we're going back to the Mishnah. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel omer mekushar v'chulei. Okay, in order to go back here, we should just look at the Mishnah again. The Mishnah had said, okay, a kuf samach amud aleph. Get pashut eidav mitocho, remember the eidim are on the inside, mekushar eidav me'achorav, on the backside. And then the Tanakhama said, pashut shekatvu eidav me'achorav, or mekushar shekatvu eidav mitocho, if you do it the reverse, shnehem psulim. But Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel said, mekushar shekatvu eidav mitocho kasher, mipnei sheyachol lasoto pashut. You could take this accordion-type document, and you could flatten it out. In which case, if the eidim are inside, it works. So Tanakhama said, if the eidim are on the inside of a shtar mekushar, that's no good, because a shtar mekushar has to be the way chachamim were mitaken. But he says, since a mekushar can be turned into a pashut, therefore it's okay. So now we're going to have some issues about this. Heshiv Rebbe the Divrei Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. V'halo eino dome zmano shel zeh lizmano shel zeh. How can you say that you can turn a mikushar into a pashut? There's a separate problem. Okay, maybe you're right, you can put the eidim inside and then it'll turn into a pashut. But the zman is different. There's other details that the Mishnah didn't tell us that they now know about, which is that the zman you write in one is not like the zman you write in the other. What does this mean? In a get pashut, Malach Shana Monim Lo Shana. Okay, apparently they wrote documents according to the year of the king's reign. So if he ruled for a year, then you were right in the first year. But if he ruled Shtayim, and once he's 2 years king, Monim Lo Shtayim. But in a Mekushar, and this is a way of giving kavod to the king, Malach Shana Monim Lo Shtayim. Once he's already king for a year, you already count it as if he was a king for 2 years. You say, in the, you know, 2 years to the king of this. You add a year. Now, what's the problem then if you turn a get mikushar that says the king, you know, it was the second year when, according to the pashut, it would have been the first year. So if you turn a mikushar into a pashut, you're going to have a big problem on the dates. Here's going to say, v'zim ninde yezef mine zuze, ibaraz zuzim, b'mikushar, on a mikushar document. U'mitramele zuze bene bene. And in the meantime, he finds some money, uparale, and he pays back the money. Vamale, havli shtare, and he says, give me back the shtar. That's what we would generally do. The lender would have the shtar. When the borrower pays back the money, he takes the shtar back. So he says, give me the shtar, and that's why you never worry about people demanding the money twice. Vamale, irkasli, but the guy could say, oh, I lost the shtar. Sorry, can't find it. And what do you do when you lose a shtar? Katav le tvara. He writes him a shovar. He writes him a receipt that says, I received the money for this loan. And it has the date on it. But v'chimat hezimne mishave le pashut. V'amar le, hane hashta di yasef minay. So now what happens when it comes time, matezimne, it comes time to pay back the loan, according to, right? He now wants to go get the loan back. Because what happened? The guy paid the loan before the time. So now the date comes up to get the loan. He opens up the shtar. He turns it into a get pashut. And what does he say? Oh, it says the second year. And the guy brings out his shofar, and his shofar says he paid it in the first year. So he says, well, that shofar obviously has nothing to do with this loan. This is a new loan, because the date is past the day that you actually paid me the money.
Why can't he just have paid it off early?
No, he can, but then...
No, if he pays it off early, well, and then the guy turns the get with the shofar into a pashut. What?
It's just a technical after the date of the receipt.
What do you mean? Right, uniform dates.
They should write uniform dates. It's very strange, this whole concept that on a mikushar they wrote dates differently. It's very strange. But what they're basically saying is, as long as we keep mikushar, and we keep pashut, then we have no issues. Who cares if the dates are different? No one will ever confuse them. But if you're going to turn a mikushar into a pashut, then someone could deceive somebody else and claim he never got paid back for it, and we'd have this issue.
Although it would be pretty obvious that it had been a mikushar. It's folded. It's got sewing marks.
I know. I also find that strange. That you. It's very hard to
this is
turn
a pashut. It's never been mikushar.
Yes, it's true. It's although, I wonder if they had methods of ironing, and you could bring... You could sort of...
You can't take out the sewing marks.
Right. You can't take out the sewing marks. It's true. And I don't know why they're not so concerned about that. But then he says, Kasavar Ein kotvin shofar. So what is, why did he say this isn't a problem to Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel? Because he holds that in these kind of cases, when you have a get mekushar, you can't write a shofar. That's, in order to avoid problems like that from happening, you just don't write shofarim and basically return
the problem, he says you never paid.
Make sure to get the star back. Okay, so now they ask another strange question. Umi baki Rebbe b'mekushar? Does Rebbe really know what he's talking about when it comes to a mekushar? He's trying to ask these questions about it. Vahanya, why do we? Now this is interesting. First of all, Rebbe put together the Mishnah. He obviously just put together this Mishnah about the get mekushar, right? But they're suspecting him that he doesn't really know too much about a get mekushar. Vahahi mekushar. There was a case of a get mekushar. Da'ata b'kamei de Rebbe. Vama Rebbe shtar meuchar zeh. In other words, what does Rebbe know about? Not really the difference between a, okay, so we have our Mishnah. He understands the Get Mekushar. Now we're going to learn what he didn't understand was about the dates in the Get Mekushar. Because there was a Get Mekushar that came to him and he said, hey, this is a bad get. It's a Shtar Mulchar because the date is later than the Shtar, you know, than the loan actually happened. He obviously only knew from the dates. He didn't realize that they delayed, that they specifically used the dates a year later. So, Vamar Lezunin, the Rebbe, and Zunin came and he said to Rebbe, Kachman Agasha Lumazo. This is the way this nation does it. Malach shana monim lo shtayim, shtayim monim lo shalosh. Okay, so basically, Zunin had to explain to him how a get mekushar works and the dates, the dating system. So how could Rebbe have known about the dating system that he's starting to question Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel about? So obviously, what's the answer? Batar deshama mizunin. That this happened after Zunin had already told him, and then he knew. Okay. Savra Hushtara Dikhtibe Bishna Ploni Arkan. Batar Dasham Mizun in Svara. Right, that's when he said it. Okay, now there's a new case. Hahushtara Dikhtibe Bishna Ploni Arkan. It said in the year of Ploni Arkan. Now, Arkan, there's a bit of a debate about what exactly it is, but it sounds like it means a type of monarch. Okay, it was in the year of Ploni the monarch. So now, what's the problem? The monarch, right, ruled, what if he ruled for a number of years, right? So what does Rabbi Hanina say? I'm Rabbi Hanina. Yivdok ematay amad arkan ba'arkanute. Go figure out when the first year of his reign it was. So then the Gemara asks, but dilma da'arich machute. Maybe he reigned for longer than a year. I'm Rav Hoshaya. Kach min hagashel umazo. This is the way they do it. Shana rishona korin lo arkan. Shnia korin lo daigan. Okay? In other words, the first year they would call him the Arkan. The second year of his rule, they call him the Dagan. Okay? We're going to start to see about, right, like, Dai is two. Okay? We're going to start to see from the Greek, okay, and things that we know about in terms of our shapes. Okay? This is going to get to that. So now they're going to say the Arkan was a name. First of all, some people say the reason the Arkan was one, was someone who's called that in their first year was because the Arkan was a ruler who generally ruled for a year. Now, if you imagine, there's elections every 4 years. If there's elections, right? This guy, there were elections every year. So that's why Arkan relates to the first year of his reign. And the second year of his reign, they called it Digon. So therefore, if it said Arkan, then it meant to the first year of his reign. V'dilma avure avruhu, v'hadar ukmuhu. Maybe, what's the concern here?
They removed him and then put him back so that he starts his reign all over again.
Ah, right. This is classic. Okay, the president. He was president and then he wasn't and then he came back and became president. So maybe that's what happened. Vadruk Mubu. And then they would call him Arkan. So Amar Biyirmiya, Hahu Arkan Digon Karule. They call it, right, the second of the first, right? The first year of the second. His second reign.
Kind of question he would ask rather than answer.
Yeah, it's true. That's very interesting. The Dafka Rabbi Yirmiyah is answering here.
It also says something about like their lives there, because if they're going into like living in Galut, because if you're going to Beit Din, why are you not using the Hebrew dates?
Right.
So it's like they must have.
Right. It shows that they use dates. Right. We saw this actually in Rosh Hashanah, I think it was, where we had all different. I think it was there where there were all different ways of counting the years and by kings and by, and then it was clear that in different places they had different rules about whether they wrote Jewish years or non-Jewish years.
Why are they both? That would.
Right, they could write both. It's true, but right, they didn't think about that. Obviously, they could have, or they're talking about what if this is what's written and not. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Now, since we talked about Arkan and Digon, now we're going to get into different things that you would say that have to do with different terminology that would indicate numbers of something. Harenu Nazir, What if you say Harini Nazir, let's say Hina, or just without Hina? Sumchus Amar Hina Echat. Okay, if you said Harini Nazir Hina, Hina means one time. You're doing one Nizirut. Digon, it means you're a Nazir Shtayim. It means you have to keep two, right? A Stam Nazir is 30 days, so you have to keep two Tkufot of Nizirut. Trigon, okay, you can see where this is going, Shlosha. Tetragon, Arba. Pentagon, Chamesh. Okay, here you have it. Tana Rabbanan, now if you really want to talk about the pentagon and building shape like a pentagon, it comes up in the Gemara. Okay, maybe that's where they got the idea from. Tana Rabbanan, Bayit Agul, or if you have a round house, or a digon, which is a two-walled house. How can you have a two-walled house? So it's a semicircle. Okay, one wall is the straight one, and one wall is a rounded one. Okay, this is going to be, by the way, for a Bayit Menuga. Can you have a Bayit Menuga without four walls, basically? And the answer is going to be no. So if it's a round house or a digon with two walls or a trigon, a triangular shaped house, or a pentagon or a five-sided house, eino mitame b'nigayin. But tetragon, a four-sided house, mitame b'nigayin. Minane mile, how do we know this? Ditana rabbanan. Lamala omer kir kirot shtayim. Lamata omer kir kirot shtayim. Hare kan arba. Okay, here are the psukim, if you have it on the side in the Torah or... One is Vayikra Yudalad Lamed Zayin, and one is Vayikra Yudalad Lamed Tet. V'ra'ak et ha-nega, v'ine ha-nega b'kirot ha-bayit. So kirot is double. Okay? The next two psukim later, it says, v'shavachem b'yam ha-shvi'i, v'ra'ak v'ine pasa ha-nega b'kirot ha-bayit. That's another two. So from there they learn that the kir kirot, you get to four. And then in order for it to be a bayit menuga, with tzarat, it has to be a four-sided house.
If you wrote it as multiple, it doesn't necessarily mean two.
Or it could refer to the same two.
First
twice.
Of all, whenever we assume multiple, we assume it's two. But also, this is a classic. They wanted to say it's a standard house. A standard house has four walls, right? Most of us don't live in a round house or in a semicircle, right? A semicircle house or a pentagon.
It's hard to think that, and if anybody did live in an unusual house, it wouldn't receive tuma.
Right.
Because then they would just build all these houses that were irregular automatically so that they wouldn't have to deal with
it. It's just hard to build an irregular sized house, and most houses have four walls. I mean, they do have more than four walls. Here's the architect.
No, but maybe a circular house doesn't collect tuma because of how it's built.
Right, doesn't have corners, doesn't have... Right, I guess it's all a matter of how you contract tuma. I think also, generally, they do things with a standard, and that's a standard house, so a bayit menuga is going to apply to a standard house. And then they just connect it to the psukim. It's not that they really learned this directly. This goes back to our question always, is do they really darshan this from the psukim? Probably not. They just want a way to connect it to the psukim so you can remember it. Okay, Ha'u Makushar Da'at Alakame De'Rebbe. We're back now to our document. Vama Rebbe, this we actually saw this case. Ein Zman B'zeh, you remember that? And he said, wait, there's no Zman in this shtar. You see another instance where Rebbe didn't really understand what a get Mekushar was. Amale Rabbi Shimon B'Rebbe, L'Rebbe. So Rabbi Shimon, his son, says to him, Shema Ben Ksharav Muvla, maybe it's in between its Ksharim. Palye V'chazye. Okay, so he tears it apart and opens it and sees it was inside. Hadar Chaza B'Rebbe B'Bishut. Rebbe now looks at his son disparagingly. Now, why did he look at him disparagingly? So the assumption is that Rebbe wasn't just that he didn't really know too much about a get mekushar, but he didn't hold from get mekushar. So he didn't want people using them. So he looks at his son like, what were you using a get mekushar for? So Amalei, lav ana katavte, right? Classic. I didn't write it. Rabbi Yehuda chayata katave. Okay, he wrote it, not me. Don't look at me. I'm just bringing you this get, but I didn't write it. Amalei, kalech milashon hara hazeh. And he says to him, you should watch from speaking Lashon Hara. Okay, obviously he was a little critical of his son. First of writing again Mekushar, and then when the kid tried to... Right, right. But this is a good, the father teaching the son, don't try to shirk responsibility and blame somebody else. Okay, yeah. But he says, don't say Lashon Hara.
Is that a play on words, calling Rabbi Yehuda Chayata?
Chayata, I was thinking it, because he sewed it.
Ah, yafeh. Okay. Zimnin Aviyatav Kamei, V'kapasik Sidra B'Sefer Tehillim. Okay, there were times when he would sit before him and I think some Pasuk Sidra he would learn or...
Yeah, he was finishing a section. Right?
Okay, he was finishing a section of Sefer Tehillim. I guess finishing writing it.
This
right, he was writing it.
This says he's
reading
it.
Okay, I'm a Rebbe. Kama miyushar katav zeh. Wow, it's so straight, this ktav. Amar le lav ana katavte. Yehuda chayata katave. I didn't write it. But Yehuda Chayata did. Now, this is the reverse, right, where he's saying, oh, don't think I'm so great. You know, he did. Amar le, kalech milashon hara hazeh. You shouldn't speak that way about other people. So Bishlama Hatam, the first case makes sense. Ika lashon hara. Elahacha, my lashon hara ika, right? He was praising him. Why is that lashon hara? So what does he say? Mishum de Rav Dimi, detani Rav Dimi, achua de Rav Safra, lo'olam al yisaper adam betovato shel chavero, shemitoch tovato bali de ra'ato. Right, you should beware about speaking too much good about people because that can lead to lashon hara. Now, this is a strange thing, right? We see people praise other people all the time. So what does it mean? So obviously, all these things, it depends somewhat on the circumstance. Some of the mepharshim say, if you praise someone too much, people are going to get jealous and it's going to cause people to speak negatively about them. So maybe it's a matter of how much you praise someone. If you praise them in front of their enemies, then it will cause people to say. In other words, you have to be careful of who your audience is, who you say in front of. If you say in front of a lot of people, there might be someone who's their enemy, and therefore you shouldn't do it. So you have to be careful always how you talk about people, because it might cause other people to say negative things about them. Amrav Amram Amarav. Shalosh Avirot Ein Adam Nitzom Mehem Bechol Yom. These are Avirot that people just can't avoid every day. Hirhor avera, thinking about doing averot. Iyun tfila, which is very hard to understand what that means. Okay, so the Rashbam says that after he lacharshit palel dam baliboshi shalem lo kadosh baruch hu scharo. He assumes he. What is iyun tfila? He's mayen is tfila. Says now I know I dab and I know God's going to give me what I want. That's not a good thing to do. Some people say it means not paying attention when you're davening. There's different interpretations. Vilashon hara. Okay, these are three things. Somebody said nicely, I think maybe they forgot who I saw this in the name of, but that hirhur avera is ben adam la'atzmo, iyun tefila is ben adam la'makom, and lashon hara is ben adam la'chavero. And it's just indicative of the fact that there's all types of avero that people do every day that it's very hard to avoid. So now the Gemara says, lashon hara safadatach, what, you think people speak really bad things about people every single day? Really? Ella avak lashon hara. They say, it's not lashon hara, it's avak lashon hara. And that's something like what we just saw, which is where maybe you'll say something good about someone and it'll cause lashon hara. Or you'll say something about someone that maybe isn't bad, but you'll just talking about people. It's things that are like lashon hara, but not necessarily that you're saying something very negative about somebody every day. And this is also indicative of, you know, you have to be careful because anything you say doesn't seem so bad, but it still could be under the context of avak lashon hara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rov begezel umiyut ba'arayot v'hakol b'lashon hara. So here's another statement, right? There's a lot of averot are done with gezel, stealing, and a minority of them are done with arayot, licentious behavior, v'hakol b'lashon hara. But all of them are done with lashon hara. In other words, that's the real evil. And the real, you know, the one that most averot are done with lashon hara. So again, they say b'lashon hara sakadatach, ela avak lashon hara. In other words, to say that, I guess I'm trying to think, is it everybody does? I guess that's what it means. It means many people deal with gezel, a minority of people get involved with arayot, but everybody gets involved with lashon hara. So again, the Gemara says, how could it be everybody speaks lashon hara? So they say, well, everybody speaks avak lashon hara. In other words, that's something that does affect people across the board. It's chomer lemachshava, you know, how to try to, even though the Gemara says you can't avoid it, how to, the chol open, try to avoid it.